I'm not sure how much people know about the life of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet, was our first reading, who had a pretty difficult life. He was a reluctant prophet. He was called to be a prophet apparently when he was quite young. And his response to that was, "I'm too young, Lord. I don't know how to speak well. You know, go call somebody else. Don't bother me." But then the Lord said to him, and that's what we heard in the first reading, he says, "You know, I will make you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass against the whole land." And then at the end it says, "For I am with you to deliver you." Jeremiah had a tough message to speak because he lived at a time when the values and the morality of the people was not according to the values and the morality that had been handed down to them. And much of what Jeremiah had to say, the people did not want to hear. It would be like today if somebody were to speak to us about the evils of contraception, or if somebody was to get up and speak in defense of the undocumented immigrants. It's a message that people of our time don't want to hear. And the speaker is often rejected. That's what happened to Jeremiah. People ridiculed him. They attacked him. They even made an effort to kill him. At one time, Jeremiah, in his writing, says, "I decided to speak no more. I wasn't going to speak anymore in the Lord's name." And then he said, "It became like a fire within me. I couldn't hold it in." I suspect that reading was chosen to kind of tell us what Jesus, who already is beginning to experience rejection in the gospel reading right at the beginning of his ministry, to tell us what he was going to go through. Because in many ways, their lives parallel each other. What I'd like to do this morning is go back to Jeremiah for a moment. Right at the beginning of the reading, it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you." Is that only Jeremiah who God knows before we were formed in the womb? Was it only Jeremiah that had a mission from God? Or is it not each and every one of us? Does not God know each one of us before we are born? Does he not have a role for us? And is it not by virtue of our baptism that each of us are in some way sent out to be builders of the kingdom of God? Oh, we may not have a role quite as prominent as Jeremiah. Our role may not even be as difficult as Jeremiah's. But don't we believe that God knows each of us, that he calls each of us by name? And if we took that more seriously, would we not think differently of ourselves? If we really knew and believed that God had something for me that he wanted me to do, he had a purpose for my life, would that not change how I look at myself? And would that not also change how I look at others? Even those people that I find difficult to deal with. If I can say to myself, "I don't know what it is, that God has a purpose for that person." would it not help me to deal better with them? I was thinking about that in terms of that whole thing of abortion in our culture. Would we not have less abortions if every woman knew that that child in her womb was known by God, had a purpose for which God created them? Would that not change the way a woman looks at that child? Each of us are called by God. But the problem is, sometimes we really don't know, how do I know what God wants me to do? One of the things that I appreciated a lot about Mr. Brendan Case that was here, and most of you did not hear this because it was in the morning sessions, but he came with a premise that was very valuable. He said, for each of us, God is Father, and that God has a plan for our lives. And he said, God wants to reveal that plan to us. Now, if God had a plan for my life, but wouldn't reveal it to me, wouldn't he be a pretty cruel God? You know, if God wants me to do something, but doesn't bother to tell me, that's not a God of justice. And so we have to assume that there is a way that God wants to communicate with me what it is that he wants me to do in life. And yet, the problem is, because of original sin, it's very hard for us to filter out the messages we get in life. How do we do that? Well, the first thing is we have to want to know what God wants us to do. Now, that maybe seem obvious, but it's not always that obvious. Because I've met people who say to me, and I've encountered that in myself, I don't know if I want to know what God wants me to do. Because he may want me to do something I don't want to do. It may cost. But if I truly want to know what God is asking of me, then that is the first step to knowing God's will. Now, the next thing we have to do is enter into dialogue with God through prayer. And I'm not just talking about praying Our Father's Hail Marys and reading prayers out of the prayer book. All of that is good. I have nothing against it. But we also need times that prayer goes on in a different way. Prayer of silence, listening, reading maybe the scriptures. And as we read those scriptures, maybe there's a word or a phrase that kind of jumps out at us, something that catches our attention, to stop, to look at that word, repeat it, ponder it, and then begin to say, Lord, what was it about that word that you wanted me to hear this morning? Maybe write down notes about those words that stand out. And then as we pray, we need to be aware of what's going on inside of us. What is the attraction I feel to that word or that phrase? What is the resistance I feel? You know, sometimes there's just things in the scriptures we don't really want to hear. We need to look at that. Why do I resist that? Where do I find peace as I read the scriptures or as I pray? Maybe it's in my meditating on the mysteries of the rosary. Where do I find peace? Where do I find discomfort and restlessness? All of that are ways the Lord speaks to us, but we have to be willing to listen. One of the things Mr. Case said was, we need to take notes as we pray. And I know that's something I need to do better. Because sometimes we can see a pattern, a theme of how God is working in our lives that helps us to know what God is calling us to do. There's one golden rule that I'd like to mention. Again, it may seem obvious, but not always. And that rule is, God never will be asking me to do something that is evil. And I've had people say, well, I was praying and God told me that I ought to start dating this married woman. That wasn't God. You know, if the parish needs money, God's not going to go tell me to rob a bank. If I get that message, I'm not listening to the right guy. God will never ask us to do evil. And so when in my prayer I'm getting that message, I better listen again. God always calls us to goodness. Jeremiah, the reluctant prophet, knew what God wanted him to do. And it didn't make his life easy. But my guess is, at the end of his life, he was at peace. You know, when you and I do God's will for us, we encounter peace. When we resist God's will, then we lose that peace that our God wants to give us. Once again, God has a plan for us. God wants to reveal that plan to each and every one of us.